this is nothing less than the separation of money and state is the most important discovery in our lifetimes, by far, way bigger than AI. Liberty-minded people and freedom seekers, they used to go west, and they hit this continent, and when people tried to tax them, they went further west. Mm-hmm. But now there's no more west to go to,
yeah,
because California is already populated. So you have to go into cyberspace, and you have to go into this if you like to keep your freedoms. If we take it seriously, if we take the liberation of the human race seriously, I mean, this country was founded on such principles.
I know, man. It's unbelievable.
It was, you were close, but you didn't pull it off, yeah, because now the constitution is not followed by your government.
Correct.
Yeah. At all. On a free market with sound money, all prices fall to the product's marginal cost of production, which is trending towards zero. So everything's basically free. If you measure the price of your Bitcoin in dollars, you're not seeing the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And that's what most people miss, that they're not ready psychologically to transition into that other way of seeing the world.
It really is like the Matrix, right? It's like this.
It is. It's the orange pill. So you either take the orange pill now, or you'll be forced to take the orange suppository later.
Down a rabbit hole. Down. Cypherpunk.
Welcome back to another episode of Cypherpunk. This is our final episode in the series. Everything divided by 21 million. I'm here with Knut Svanholm. Let's wrap it up, brother.
Let's wrap it up.
First off, fantastic book. I loved reading it.
Thank you.
For our listeners, if you could impart maybe one thing on them to take away from this book, what would it be?
Probably that you should study Bitcoin and study what it does to the human psyche and how good that is for everyone.
50 years from now, what does one day look like in a fully Bitcoin world? Take us into the future.
Yeah, if we're hyper Bitcoinized 50 years from now, I don't know that. Like, it's the further into the future you look, the harder it is to predict. But I think I have a thesis that I don't even know if I believe in myself. But if we're getting into this, we've been talking about this in previous episodes, and we get into a world of abundance where people still choose not to overconsume because they value their sats more than their stuff, and also everyone's incentivized to help one another. I think that's what, like, humanity scales into a better world, where more things are on a free market with sound money, all prices fall to their marginal cost of to the product's marginal cost of production, which is trending towards zero. So everything's basically free. Like, more and more things will be accessible and available. I mean, you can see that already on your smartphone, for instance. Sure, the phone itself costs a bit of money. There's a monthly cost for the your subscription, whatever you call it. What do you call that? Like
your cell phone plan.
Your cell phone plan. Yeah. But the things on the phone, like the flashlight, the GPS, mm-hmm, like access to all the world's books, all the world's movies, all of YouTube, all of. So many things that used to cost money are now free, and that's just amazing. And I think all products can follow that trajectory, not only digital products, but everything in the physical world too. Maybe not land, like that's the last thing that is also has a value, but pretty much every other consumer good is trending towards zero. And that's a very, what that world looks like, it's very hard, mm-hmm, to predict.
Yeah.
And also, it's very hard to wrap your head around ever falling prices. It's also very hard to wrap your head around that on a full Bitcoin standard, where all the 21 million Bitcoins have been mined, almost everyone's stack would necessarily have to go down over time and not up.
Yeah, that's another...
Yeah, that's very hard to imagine. But I suspect it's a beautiful world that functions way better than what we're living in today.
I know there's, you know, each Bitcoin has 100 million subunits of Satoshis, but I mean, in the future, you could, all you have to do is add a couple more zeros and you could just divide them into smaller.
Yeah, you can do that already. Yeah. Like subsets are already possible via the Lightning Network and other scaling solutions. Like there's no divisibility problem, really. There is one on chain, but, you know, you can slice a pizza in however many slices you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. How do you think about energy in the future? I know that was a chapter of the book, but you know, what's the role of energy pricing? Because Bitcoin relies on energy and proof of work. How does that go forward into the future?
Well,
obviously, a lot of speculation here, but
as energy companies merge with Bitcoin mining companies, I think the two will be inseparable in the future. And that will drive down energy prices vastly because all of a sudden it makes sense to harvest energy in remote places where not very close to human settlements. And energy is abundant on planet Earth. It's energy specific amount of energy in a specific point in space-time. Mm-hmm. That's the scarce resource, right? And we can't store it very easily. But with Bitcoin, we have this sort of suspension mechanism, or I used the battery in the first book. I don't really like that analogy anymore because it's like, to physics autists, it's not a very good one. But but you can, if you can convert energy into a fraction of the first of the world's first and last digital pi, then that's a very good way to incentivize to coordinate and incentivize energy companies to be less wasteful and produce cheaper energy. So I foresee energy prices, like the prices of everything else, going down.
Do you think prices will ever actually hit zero, or do you think there's still some kind of like they'll be going down, but there's still some like cost to actually take the work to put something there and do stuff, you know?
It depends on what you mean by zero.
Yeah.
So in dollar terms, certainly, but like, simple example, like the flashlight on my phone. There's still a physical cost to me to take the phone out of my pocket and press the button, right? So I don't think any price can ever fall to actual zero, but it's more of a, the trajectory is the important thing here.
Yeah, yeah. The logic is, if your wages, because this is, I guess, the big argument about deflation versus inflation, is like, in a deflationary society, your wages could actually be going down. Which
they can and will.
Yeah, like, and that's what Jeff Booth talks about. It this in his book. But if your wages are going down, but you can buy more, you're actually gaining more purchasing power.
Yes.
Right?
So it's just. I think it will take humanity a long time to get used to that, because we're so used to measuring from the other side.
Yeah.
And that's, if you measure the price of your Bitcoin in dollars, you're not seeing the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what most people miss. They're not ready psychologically to transition into that other way of seeing the world.
It really is like the Matrix, right? It's like this.
It is. It's the orange pill. The orange pill.
Analogy.
So you either take the orange pill now, or you'll be forced to take the orange suppository later.
Are you going to do the orange suppositories, Knut?
Are you gonna deliver them?
Yeah, you're going to deliver them.
I can deliver lube.
Hyper lubrication.
Hyper lubrication.
Oh, I'm asking you a lot of like deep futuristic questions here. My next one is, how do you see, I know we talked a little bit about like Mars going potentially, but how do you see this all playing out in the future when interstellar travel is a thing and we're going into the cosmos as humanity?
I think most people underappreciate how fucking far away the nearest star is.
4 light years, right? Something like that.
Yeah, 4.3.
Yeah.
And it's... And I don't believe we'll see interstellar travel in our lifetimes. No one alive today is going to see interstellar travel. And we're certainly not going to see anyone arrive at any other planet. in any other solar system. Mars, perhaps. We may see someone land on Mars in our lifetimes.
I think, but that's for sure. I think that's inevitable. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. Want to bet?
What do you mean, want to bet? You
want to bet if we see bet some satoshis and see a man on Mars in the next 20 years?
I will definitely.
A 20-year bet?
I will take that bet.
All right.
We can put some stats on it. You think no, or are you taking no?
I think guys, it has to mean 21 years.
What's up?
Yeah, 21 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
21 years.
I'm down to do that.
A million sets in 21 years.
Let's fucking do it. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's fucking do it. And yeah. we can't collect until it happens, so.
Maybe we should make this a thing on the internet and do a big.
That would be cool. Let's do it.
Like program it.
I think Elon's going to have us there within 5 years, but you know, maybe I'm crazy.
I don't. Elon has not yet delivered the Hyperloop. It's not yet delivered those solar rooftop panels that he promised. He did deliver.
He's always behind on his estimates, but he eventually delivers.
That's he delivered the flamethrower, and I salute him for that.
Oh my goodness.
But what about he couldn't. Elon has now gone back to the easier. He was tasked with making government more efficient. And now he's back to the much more easy task of sending a man to Mars.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's working on it. He's back to what he needs to be doing. but what about even like, obviously I said interstellar, but how about just like within our cosmos? I mean, within our
solar system,
that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever watched The Expanse?
Yeah, I did.
I love that show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
Sick.
Good show. I got to like season 5 and then I got confused because I put an episode on and it was exactly like every other episode, so I couldn't like keep track of it anymore. I got lost somewhere on the way. I like the idea and it sort of reaches the it's sort of telling about the limits of what we can and cannot do even theoretically. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine trying to send a signal back from the nearest star. In the best case scenario, that takes 4.3 years to arrive, the signal.
That's crazy. Crazy to think about.
Yeah, and it needs to be stronger than all the signal from that star. like how do you pull a thing like that?
I think we've got some physics and quantum physics stuff to work out to really make the traveling the cosmos much more feasible. Do you think, I mean, what these ideas of like wormholes and these different things, those are technically possible, correct? I'm not a huge physics brain, so I don't
know. To my best knowledge, only elemental particles can travel through wormholes. So it's going to take a lot for the, I don't see the Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty, is not happening anytime soon.
Not anytime soon, but I think we'll, I don't know. I'm optimistic on the future.
I am too, but I'm also a realist.
Technology keeps marching forward, giving us beautiful deflation and cheaper goods, prices, and things, despite the quintillionaires, which keep printing money.
Yeah, you're familiar with the Dyson Sphere?
I am familiar with it. Is that the is the Dyson Sphere the thing that goes around and captures all of the energy
of the sun?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So this is called the Kardashev scale, like
we're zero right now.
Apparently. Yeah, we're 0.7 or something, and one is when we have harnessed all the energy of our own planet, right? Mm-hmm. And two is when you harness the all the energy of that star or that solar system, and three is when you're a multi-stellar species or something like that.
Yeah.
Every time I hear people talk about this, people use the term "we." Do you think we'll ever get to Mars? Or and to me, that sounds like my hockey team won, and our team won, and our in my country and in our country, and we should do this and we should do that. And I'm kind of allergic to it because I'm an individualist first and foremost. I don't think we should do anything. I think individuals should be able to reach their own goals. And if your goal is to put a man on Mars, then yeah, good luck. Hopefully you'll live in a free market that is efficient enough for you to be able to do it at some point. So I hope so, but it's not a we thing. It's one person's goal. And that's how it should be. I don't believe we should do anything.
Have you ever gone to the Kennedy Space Center in the other on the other
in
side
DC?
Of Florida? No, it's on the other side of Florida.
No, Kennedy Space Center. No, I never went, but I had to avoid a rocket once when on the tall ship outside of French Guiana. So we were on our way to Suriname, I believe, and they were firing. There's a space center there, a U.S. space center there. And I had to avoid certain latitudes because there was a risk of falling debris from the rocket.
You know,
so I had to watch out for a rocket.
Apparently, somebody here within this city here, mm-hmm. was in their house, like, I think it was like half a year ago or a year ago, and like literally the roof just like caved in because something from the International Space System, space station hit. Came in and destroyed the roof.
So it's sort of like the plane crash in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, something like that. And apparently he's like getting a bunch of money for it or something. Like it was like this big deal. I think the taxpayer is bending over to pay him because they fucked it up. But I guess when I went to that Kennedy Space Center and they take you in there and you kind of see all the people that work together to initially get man on the moon. It really did feel like an emotional we moment, like all these people.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a we, but like the problem I have is like, as long as it's consensual, I'm all for it. Like, I would love to see a man on Mars.
Yeah.
I hope that it's a private firm that does it and not a government institution.
I think that what it's going to be this time around for sure. I think Elon is in the driver's seat of that. But
maybe. And to be fair, like that, this is why I don't think the moon landings are a conspiracy because the U.S. was more of a capitalistic society then.
Yeah.
So I think it was more efficient and that the NASA could have actually managed to pull that thing off. It's much harder now because it's a less efficient system.
Yeah, it's much more crony capitalism has built up.
Yeah,
and I think did you ever hear that like when the
incentive now is not to actually deliver, but it's sort of like the Soviet Union. It's the appearance
cost
of delivery.
Cost plus,
like the inflation in Titans on LinkedIn. Like everyone's a fucking MD or CEO or something. You know, it's like the In the professional fiat world, it's much more about virtue signaling than anything else.
Yeah, that's what I
detest it. Like, I think LinkedIn is by far the worst social media network. Like, at least my feed. Yeah. It reminds me of my old fiat career, and everyone in it is just trying to virtue signal all the time.
Yeah, they've got all those. LinkedIn especially has all those, like, you can put the little face things on that has a mask and it has your pride colors or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I support the current thing. You see that with the NPC with a rainbow flag and five shots in his arm and stuff. Ukraine flag.
Oh, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Oh, I had a good question for you, but I lost my train of thought on it. Damn, it was good, too. It was kind of about this.
Have you seen that meme with trains? And this, I think I showed it to you yesterday with like where the train the train wrecks. Like there's a school bus across the train track, and the school bus says Marx's theory of value, and then the train comes and and it says OnlyFans for the train.
Man, those OnlyFans chicks are crushing it. I mean, like, it's wild.
No.
You know, people value is subjective, right? People will pay what they get, the value that they get out of it, right? It's hard to know. It could be different for different people, and it just like you said, deductive reasoning just makes so much sense. And like, it's just like that's the way. Of course, the world works that way because we can observe it and deduce it, and it's unbelievably obvious.
Yeah.
Any other closing thoughts for our listeners here on this episode to conclude this series?
Is this where I start shilling my shit?
Yeah, man, go for it. Shill all your shit.
So, I guess if you want to know more and if you want a deeper dive on this book and all the other books, you should join the Bitcoin Infinity Academy. If you go to our Geyser Fund page, like geyser.fund/project/infinity, you'll find different tiers of membership there. And I'm releasing them for free chapter by chapter over Noster. Free, but then again, Noster is a bit of a clusterfuck, so it's They're not.
I've been trying to use
super accessible.
Yeah,
complicated. Though I like the idea of Noster. I have my doubts if it will ever take off for the masses. So we're doing that, and that's going to go on for 2 years. And you can join the discussions and eavesdrop on the recordings and have monthly meetings with us if you join the academy. All the books are available on Amazon for shitty fiat. And for and for Satoshis on BitcoinInfinity.com. And you should also follow the Bitcoin Infinity show, where I have conversations with other Bitcoiners.
We will make sure to definitely weekly. Tag this in the show notes. My final question for you.
And you should come to the BTC Hell conference in Helsinki.
BTC Hell? Is that what you
said? Yeah, BTC Hell.
I've never heard
Hell of it. Hell for Helsinki. I'm co-organizing that, so we're going to have a good time there.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Give me all the details on it. Let me...
And brush your damn teeth.
Oh, man. You've got all those gray hairs and that philosopher's beard over here. I got to load up my final question on you.
My Marx beard.
Your Karl Marx beard. What advice do you have for new Bitcoiners, people just coming to Bitcoin, discovering Bitcoin? And then what life advice do you have for people?
For new Bitcoiners, avoid fake Bitcoins. Do your homework. Like, put 10,000 hours
Holy
into
shit.
This stuff.
Wow.
Study the thing, study the technical aspects of it, but more importantly, study praxeology and study Austrian economics and understand the value proposition. Without that, you're at risk. I see people all the time, like right now, there's a bit of a conflict between very technically knowledgeable people and very praxeologically knowledgeable people or economically knowledgeable people. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes have different views of what this is and what you can and cannot do with it. But I think often the very technical people and some of the developers, they never saw the value of the Satoshi as this long-term thing. They mistook it for a plaything that they could fiddle around with and try different things and stuff. And a lot of coins were lost along the way. And some of these people... Now try to be relevant by having contrarian theories of whatnot because they lost all their coins and they had them like thousands of coins very early on. A lot of those people have just fallen off the bandwagon because they never took this thing too seriously. And this is nothing less than the separation of money and state is the most important discovery in our lifetimes, by far, way bigger than AI. And if we take it seriously, if we take the liberation of the human race seriously, I mean, this country was founded on such principles.
I know, man. It's
it was you were close, but you didn't pull it off.
Yeah.
Because now, the Constitution is not followed by your government.
Correct.
At all.
Yeah.
So this is humanity's like the liberty-minded people and freedom seekers. They used to go west, and they hit this continent, and when people tried to tax them, they went further west. Mm-hmm. But now there's no more west to go to because California is already
cyberspace.
So you have to go into cyberspace, and you have to go into this if you like to keep your freedom. So my life advice would be... It is not what you think it is. Life is not what you think it is. You have much more say in it than you think you do. The mind creates reality to a larger extent than you think it does. Take back control over the driver's seat. Don't let fear dictate your actions. That which you can do without your own. Make your life valuable to others. Be useful. And brush your damn teeth.
Knut Svanholm, it's been a pleasure.
Likewise, Matty. Good to be here.